And that'll mark our beginning. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for giving us your word that we can study. We are very blessed to have such a thing. Lord, guide us in appreciation of it, but also in understanding it. Give us the wisdom to gain more wisdom today from studying how we study the Bible. Lord, bless us too as we share this with everyone around us, and especially the next generation that is under our care. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dive in. The value of continuous Bible study. Let's start off. If you had to explain, what's the value? What would you say to somebody?
Okay. Keep your spiritual strength up.
Okay, keep your spiritual strength up.
Be knowledgeable about everything.
Be knowledgeable about God. Yeah, you get a lot of people out there saying, well, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And God's like, here, take this. And you're like, but Lord, this is way too much. Is there like a Cliff Notes version? There's a lot we learn about this.
316.
There are Cliff Notes version, yeah. What else?
Minnie Heckendorf, her husband, started a new mission in Reno. Mm-hmm. She told us a really cute story this morning. Their next door neighbor, Lady, is in her 60s, and she's going to be baptized, I think, this Sunday. And so she's going through the adult information class. And when it came to Jesus raising from the dead, she just went, wait a minute! What are you...
Hold on here, she said. You were telling me he raised from the dead and then he was alive? And we don't think about that. That astonishing kind of revelation for people, because a lot of us grew up with it.
Right, exactly, yeah, that appreciation and that, whoa. It doesn't hit us like it hits a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I said too that some people in information class may think that, but it's really, I think it's amazing when people actually verbalize it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean? And he came back and he showed Thomas and this can't be.
I assume you guys have met Matt Vogt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pastor in Vegas. When he was a pastor, I remember he was given a talk at the seminary for some like symposium or something, and he was telling a story about some guy, you know, that when they were canvassing, they met him, they eventually came to Bible information class, and he was in there in the first class, and they're talking about, you know, our sin and God's grace and all that. The guy just kind of stops. He goes, I'm pissed. He's like thinking to himself, uh-oh, what did I say? You know, did I say something wrong? He's like, why are you upset? He just goes, I'm pissed that nobody told me this before.
Wow.
This is what Christianity is about? This is what Jesus did? I had no idea. Became a member, baptized, all that stuff. So it was really neat. So it was one of those ones. Another pastor, professor at the seminary, was telling a story how he was canvassing when he was a pastor. And I think it was around Christmas time or whatever. I forget, but canvassing, he goes to some guy's house, and he had been doors shut in his face like 10 in a row, and he's just like getting frustrated. So opens the door, says, hi, you know, I'm here for one of you. I don't care. He's about to slam the door. He goes, all right, fine, then just go to hell. And he walked away. And the guy goes, what was that? And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm just fed up. He goes, no, seriously, what was that? What do you mean, go to hell? And so he explained to him, and the guy ended up coming to class. He goes, I don't recommend saying that.
But,
so knowing the Bible can
enjoy hell.
Yeah, knowing the Bible can help us in those moments. Absolutely.
Carlene and I called on a guy that visited one time, and he was a lifelong Masonic Lodge member. And I didn't want to get into the lodge with him, so I talked to Pastor Fresno about it. He left the lodge and joined our church.
Mm, yeah. Power of the word.
Always ready to give an answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the key, I think, in staying in Scripture. Because the answers are there.
Answers are there, and people are searching for answers. And I also think you and I, nowadays, we can maybe fall into the trap of people don't care about the Bible anymore. You know, they kind of trash it, they disbelieve it, the power that's there. And I think partly that's true, but a big part of it is not true. I think people know about the its reputation, know how important it is, and when you talk about the Bible with some people, it really gains a lot of respect. I think with most people, I think what we do is that smaller group that's louder is we assume is the voice of everyone else, but it's not.
You know, the problem today is most churches don't believe the Bible.
So I wouldn't say most, but yeah, a lot of them can get away from Scripture, that's for sure.
How many seminaries like ours teach the truth of God's Word and not higher criticism?
Very true, yeah. So it prepare us well. God be praised that He has,
yes,
in His grace, guided us sinful human beings to still prize His Word like that.
Yeah, I mean, kind of along the same lines, with our kids, we find a lot of churches, I wouldn't say they just get rid of it, but they just don't use it as much. It's more, well, pastor's message is this, or pastor said, or, you know, those kind of things, and it's not so much going in the Bible. I mean, I'm sure the pastor is using the Bible when he's preparing his message at some places, but for the, like, you know, our kids, even at their high school, they'll be in the middle of their Bible class, like, you know, wait a minute, we're in the Bible. Well, you know, even the Bible teacher doesn't maybe, it's just kind of assumed that, you know, that was the message and some of those things. So, or, you know, you get some Calvinism or something that really vastly different interpretation on some things. But, maybe there are some churches that say, no, we don't believe it. But there's others that they just don't have a Bible class. They have a lot of teaching and a lot of speaking and a lot of things that are maybe somehow related, three steps back to a Bible verse. But that's one thing I know our kids, they've said when we've had our parent-teacher consultations, you know, you have with your, like, you know, one thing, I'm not sure we're totally aligned on our doctrine and theology, but I'll tell you, every kid that's come from St. Mark's to this school, they do know their Bible. It's really good. So. And you have that blue catechism book. I've seen that. You know, one of them even said. Matter of fact, our daughter Hannah, she left the catechism with her Bible teacher this last week, and he wanted to look at some things over the weekend in it. He said, "This is really cool how you have a question, and there's all this biblical support." That's kind of what we do.
Imagine that, yeah.
So. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's. So just bring it back here, and then it's not he said or she said.
Yep.
Yeah. And if,
guess who wrote it, by the way? So you don't argue with me.
And the neat thing about Bible study too is, as we'll talk about, is getting the context of some passages.
Sure.
Yeah. Some passages can be taken out of context,
right,
but then you can go, well, wait a second. That was said in a section that said this. The overall point was this. And so, it really helps too.
Yeah.
Let's dive in. Let's do it. 2 Peter 3. Let's read that. So the value of continuous Bible study. Anne, are you ready?
Yeah.
I knew you would be.
I knew I'd be ready. Okay. I'll read.
2 Peter. I'm just teasing. I'm just
teasing. I was in 1 Peter. It's good.
Were you really?
But I had them both. You're laughing at me.
Hey, no. We checks and balances. We help each other out.
So, 2 Peter, what?
3, 17 and 18.
Okay. You already know these things, dear friends. So be on guard, then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So we've got false teachings trying to steal us away. We've got the devil trying to knock down our foundation in Christ. So number one, for spiritual growth. Maturity.
Notice it says there, knowledge.
And knowledge, yep.
It says grace and knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So for spiritual growth, to maturity and stability in Christ. Not just growing, though. So many people think, well, what does God say? How do I know? What am I supposed to do? I just wish God would tell me what to do. And yet, Psalm 119 reveals something. Go for it. Barbara?
Okay. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path.
Yeah, God has given us something. Number two, for daily, when you're walking down a road and you need that light.
Guidance.
Guidance would be, lightning could work, but yeah, for daily guidance in our new life in Christ.
Light, yeah.
So it guides your path.
I like enlightenment.
It's totally dark. Where do I go? Let me turn on the headlights of God's Word. I can see where I have to go. Number three, I'll go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Anybody know this from heart?
We should.
All Scripture is breathed and is useful
for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
So that the man of God
may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Absolutely. So number three, I'd say for practical instruction. In good works done out of love for Christ. So for practical instruction.
That's kind of beyond the salvation part, right? It's, you know, I mean, it's funny, we had this discussion, I was filling in with the teens, and it's, you know, so much of the Bible is, look guys, this is the way I would like you to do it. I'm not gonna take away your salvation if you go do some stupid choices. You do it my way or your way, and you want to go do it your way, and just, I'm not, doesn't mean you're going to hell necessarily, but why don't you got to do it the hard way? Why don't you just, I've laid it all out for you. I mean, and all of us were or are young, and we all did these stupid things. You look back, why did I not just, he told me word for word, and I just decided to go do this other thing. Mm-hmm.
The
there's just so much practical, week by week, day by day, mm-hmm. stuff.
So now as we study that, some guidance for daily Bible study there. Let's go to Nehemiah 8:8. That'll go with that number one. All this is written in yours, guys, right?
Yeah.
All right.
No blanks.
Yeah. Nehemiah 8:8. You got it, Tom? Go for it.
They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read.
Pam, can you read number one, please? Would you be willing?
Sure.
Thank you.
Use a fitting translation. The goal of translation, to faithfully render the Hebrew and Greek into fluent English. Suggested translation, the New International Version, the New American Standard. The regular use of one specific Bible is helpful by becoming familiar with certain passages are found. I have dry lips this morning.
No problem. I know what a pastor goes through up reading all that stuff up and.
Yes, put yourself before you talk.
Does that mean that in different versions of the Bible they move passages around?
No, not necessarily. Just sometimes the words just don't really kind of reflect the idea or thought as well. Sometimes you'll read a translation and just kind of go, well, it's not exactly what it says, you know. It's interesting that when you look at different translations to see how it was translated differently can kind of show you, reveal some of what the idea a little bit more, kind of a well-rounded idea. Since this Bible study has been written, there's the NIV has been updated to 2011. The ESV has been written. That's the Missouri Synod. Usually standard Bible is the ESV. That's a little bit more literal. One that has that's a little more fluid is God's Word. You've got lots of different English translations, so many out there. Now we have the Evangelical Heritage Version that some Wells pastors have put together. So lots of good translations out there. After looking at all of these, there's another one here that's not mentioned, but I think it's the Christian Standard Bible. It used to be the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I think now the new one is just the CSB. That one.
This is an applications. It's American Study Application Study Bible.
Okay, so Application Study Bible. Lots of different translations. When the Wells pastors and professors did a study, you know, as they're looking, should we do our own translation or not? Did anybody look at the results of their findings?
Yeah, was that the one? There was something, and I thought it was here, but now I wonder whether it was just something I saw on the internet or something where everyone has just a little bit of bias. I'm not saying it's wrong, but they just kind of the angle they came at it, like New American Standard came and they're really strict on the genderless. Or another one is coming from an angle of this or that. And it's just, they were coming from slightly different biases. I don't think what it was saying was any of them, oh, that's flat out wrong. They're changing the words or the meaning. But it was more just, as you're reading this particular translation, realize you're going to see a little bit more of a direction like this. Yeah, more like dialects within a language than, you know, so. And it, was that, did that come out of the study work from the synod?
Yeah, sort of. They kind of decided.
A sentence or two about each one was really concise.
Yeah, and they're just kind of like, well, none of them are perfect.
Yeah.
You know, none of them are the greatest. But they're not terrible either. You know, they said, we kind of prefer this one or this one. So back, that was before the Christian Standard Bible came out. It was the Holman Christian Standard Bible. A lot of people said, I really like this translation the best. But in the front of their Bibles, they had a, what do they call that? I forget, but it's basically a page where you can sign, like, on this day is when I accepted Christ. And so they're just like, we like this translation, but we can't say this is, you know, we would buy this one because of that page. Well, on the new one, the Christian Standard Bible, they listened and they actually got rid of that page out of the Bibles. But still, some people were saying, the NIV, kind of like that one the best. Some of them were saying, no. Some people are saying, you know, EHV is pretty good. But basically, the Synod said, we're going to go with an eclectic approach. You, whatever each congregation feels is the best for their congregation, that's what they'll use. Here at St. Mark, since we've been here, we've transitioned from the 84 NIV to the 2011, because the 84 is not in print anymore. So we transitioned to the 2011. They always caution you.
Today, the copyright is 84.
Yeah, we got to change that.
For some weird
some of those templates, they're always. But, I mean, technically, it was originally 84.
We had a member leave many years ago because we left the King James, because it says in the front it's the authorized Bible.
Yeah, the authorized Bible. By King James, yeah. By inspired King James.
James said that.
This was a topic at the last Synod convention I'd attended, and what struck me was the head of our seminary, and I can't think of his name.
Paul Wendler.
Yeah, stood up, and I've always had a lot of admiration for him, and he said, the seminary didn't endorse any because they said we should train our pastors well enough so that they should be able to take any version of any Bible, and if there's a question, they should be able to explain it. And so they were the ones that were leading the charge of you can use any one as long as it's not way out there.
Yeah.
The other thing was the cost. Oh my gosh, it's like millions of dollars to if you take a Bible and start from Genesis all the way through the end, we would have to, the Synod would have to sell like 18 billion Bibles to break even.
Yeah, a lot of it. So yeah, it's there's a lot of issues that kind of went into that.
Yeah.
And they tell us at the seminary too, when you're in your sermon, don't get too crazy with the Greek and Hebrew. You can reference it, but don't get too crazy, because now you're telling people, kind of intimating that you can't trust that English version that's right in front of you, when you can. I mean, for the obviously, you know, there's a reason we still use it, and the teaching is still there, and it's all great. So just don't be hesitant with your English translation. Don't worry about that. If you have a question, you know, the pastors can talk about it, and we can look at the Greek and Hebrew and discuss that. But yeah, don't be afraid. I remember one time I was watching, it was, you know, it was late at night, televangelist type people. It was a woman who was, she had this big whiteboard with this huge auditorium full of people, and she's writing Greek, you know, and she's talking about this word or that word, and she, I think she was in the book of Revelation, and she's just talking about all these different things, like this means this, and she's talking about like grammar and everything, and I'm thinking to myself, what does anybody there care?
Yeah.
They can't read it.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you speak a little bit of English? Make somebody stand there.
Yeah.
But what it came out to be was, look at what I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should trust me. And really, honestly, with some of what she was saying was not true about some of that Greek too. So don't worry about using your English Bibles. Understand what you can understand, which is the idea here. Nehemiah said, you know, and there we find out that they used something that was spoken clearly so that everybody could understand. And that's the idea. So let's go to Daniel 6 next. how often would Scripture say is a good, good set thing for meditating on God's word?
I have.
Go for it, Barbara.
Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before.
Hey, somebody read number 2. That one goes with number 2. Let's go ahead and read number 2 right in here in the book.
Oh. Begin with prayer for the Holy Spirit and enlightenment. Concentrate as you study.
Number two.
Oh, set aside a definite time. Yeah, I'm sorry. Set aside a definite time each day for study and prayer. Make it a part of your daily schedule and stick to it.
Stick to it. Boy, isn't that just
like
a good
that one. Stick to it.
Stick to it. Isn't that so difficult to do?
Yeah.
Right? What kind of accountability is there for us usually when it comes to Bible study? There's none, really, right? It's just kind of us wanting to do it, and usually what takes a back seat. When we have to shuffle things around or when we're busy with other responsibilities, it's usually God's Word. So a good reminder to us to make sure that this is a priority and daily. Now, at the same time, don't do it just to do it. Right? Don't just, okay, there I read a paragraph, I'm done. I fulfilled my quota for the day. God's happy with me. That's not getting any good out of it either.
Well, but I've heard it taught of there may be days you almost have to do that
just to
stick to it. It's like some days you'd be like, wow! And other days would be like, you know, all right. Now, on to whatever I was doing. And there will, but you know what? Even if you do that, just to stick to your stupid time. Your time. And it's not stupid. That was awful. But just to, it's stupid that we marginalize it. Why am I being so stupid about this? But it's more, even if you fake it till you make it thing or whatever, and even if you have to, I've heard it said, even if you have to, go a little shallow once in a while. There may not be lights from heaven and, you know, angel music every day. But
there's something there, yeah.
Just to keep your. They say go to the gym. Some days you'll be, oh, I really feel good about my workout. And other days, fine, I'm just struggling to get through it. But don't quit.
You're always happy that you went.
Yeah, you never at the end. And same thing, when you close the Bible, I doubt you're like, that was the biggest waste of time. You'll probably never say that. So.
Whenever you leave the gym, you're just like, well, I'm glad I came. You're always happy. And yet in that moment when it's deciding, should I go, you forget about that.
Out,
yeah.
Right?
But no, it's true. That in a definite time, you know, is good to get into habit. It's just basically creating habits, right? Daniel had his habits where he, this time of day, I'm going to close it. I'm going to pray, things like that. For me growing up, I remember after confirmation, it's kind of a change in my heart after studying this stuff. And I appreciated it more. And actually, back in the day when I would watch the news, you know, the news is at 10 p.m. And, I mean, that's when you would watch it. And then there was 20 minutes of regular news. But every day at 10:20 is when the sports came on. It's the only part that I cared about in the news. Everything else, I just saw, it's depressing, whatever. I would sit in my room from 10 to 10:20, read my Bible. And then at 10:20, turn on my TV in my room, watch the sports, and then go to bed right after that. That was my routine every single night. Every single night. And it really grew. You know, some days, like you said, you're just kind of reading through it. But other days, I mean, you really apply these things. And when you're out and about, then, in the world, not doing these things is when they really start flooding in. You know, these things that you read. Let's go to Psalm 119:18.
I have it.
Go for it.
Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. That's what this says.
Okay, so that's just simply a prayer, right? Open my eyes to see. Mm-hmm. And that's what we ask every time we study the Bible. So begin with prayer for the Holy Spirit and enlightenment. Concentrate as you study and ask that He give blessing through your study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay.
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Correctly handles, that correctly handles is literally cuts straight.
So if you're twice cut once?
If you've got like, you know, when you were younger and you had the, what was it, the pattern that you had to cut around with your little scissors?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? And this idea, the idea is, this is what Scripture says. You know, so you want to cut straight. You don't want to deviate this way and do your own thing or go away from that. You want to cut straight. That's the picture behind that. Mm. And so with Scripture, in order to understand it, we have to learn it. That way we can cut straight as we apply it. So keep going. Acts 17. Somebody read that one?
Well, while somebody's looking that up, there's your accountability passage too, that 2 Timothy. God's watching, so if you did cut straight and you made your little, I don't know, your quilt and your squares aren't straight,
yeah,
and God's gonna, you know, or you're making a table and your pieces of lumber are all screwed up, or God's gonna see it,
right?
God,
yeah,
I recommend you cut straight.
And
you're so be inspecting it, right?
With what we'll see here, the good example of that.
Okay.
11, right? Oh, Acts 17.
17, 11, and 12.
Oh, yeah. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, and did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men.
Okay, so the Bereans, of course, you've heard of the Bereans. What did they want to do? They wanted to cut straight, right? They wait, hold on a second, what are you saying, Paul? Let's check the scriptures on this. And they're checking it, and they're gaining more understanding about what Christ did, and that was helping them. Yep, he is cutting straight, I can follow that. So, number four, consciously focus on each word and seek understanding. Ask questions like, what does it say? What does it tell me about myself? What does it tell me about my Lord? What will it lead me to do? What am I to believe? What am I to become? Also, of great value is to read with imagination, picturing the events in your mind, putting yourself in the text. That'll help you cut straight, asking these questions and seeing what Scripture says about it. Next one, Psalm 1. You know that? Dick, go ahead.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers.
Love that picture of a tree planted by streams of water.
Mm-hmm.
That tree going to be wanting for growth and fruit? No, it's got plenty of a supply. So blessed are we when we do that too. Proverbs 6 as well.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The word meditation, what's a good definition?
Don't think Buddhism.
Yeah.
Okay. So, or Hinduism with the Om. Don't think that kind of meditation. But to meditate is to think about.
Turn it over.
Had a,
mind, right?
Yeah, Professor Gergel at the seminary talks about it. He likens it to, and there's a passage in Scripture that talks about this, but like a dog gnawing on a bone.
Mm-hmm.
So that dog, when he's got that bone, he doesn't just kind of lick it and just be like, all right, whatever. No, he like gnaws on it, wants to get what he can out of it, you know, like, so take that passage of Scripture and just really gnaw on it in a sense, like, think about it, how does this apply to me, what is he really saying here, what does it say in context, we'll talk about that in a second, what is he applying to my life, so gnawing on it, like a dog gnaws on a bone, really savoring it, taking it in. Does that help?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. I was just thinking, you know, you don't have to read a lot in your meditation each day. Just, you know, kind of take a verse and nod it.
Yeah, and exactly. And meditate, yeah, just really reflect and kind of apply it. That's a lot of what you see with meditation. Take some time to just think about the passage.
That's good.
Okay. Luther, part of that meditation, Luther had those, what was it, 4 questions? Or is it 3 strands or 4 strands? I always forget. And all them Lutheran school kids knew this one. I didn't. I'm a public school kid. But like different strands, like what is God convicting in my heart with this? What is he comforting in my heart? What is he? How does he want me to behave? What, you know? What am I to pray for? Something like that. I don't know. Look it up. Luther's 4 strands or 3 strands.
I heard some. I think it was a sermon maybe on this, but it's really similar to what you're asking about. And it was You always hear people say, in the back of my mind, I knew that this, or in the back of my mind, when this guy was on the phone trying to sell me some insurance, in the back of my mind, you know, this guy was saying, how about we take some of this and put, instead of the back of our mind, maybe move it to the front of our mind a little more often, and just instead of, and you say, it's wonderful, you have all that stuff, you kind of bank it, and we don't know how our brains work, and all this stuff, it somehow gets stored in there for the right time. But he's like, you know, just a little bit more time when it's in the front of your mind rather than the back. And you're actually, your main thought is about, you know, what did this mean? And what was this? And, okay, I read this. Yeah, it was really, he was kind of, the guy who was preaching was kind of challenging the listeners. How about it spends a little more time in the front, not the back? It was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think he was talking about, he brought that up about meditating on it. Yeah, you can meditate on it, but how about we meditate on it? It was really interesting.
More active, yeah. And really, Sunday morning in the sermon, that's
yeah,
kind of what...
the dog isn't just shoving the phone behind the...
Implore, behind the pastors are trying to pull that into and get you to really think about the scripture. Okay, you just heard it when I read it, but now let's really think about it and bring it forward. Proverbs 6, anybody get that one? Ann, go ahead.
My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart and tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you.
Okay, guys, somebody read number 5. So those passages go with number 5. That's what Mike was talking about too. Barbara, go ahead.
Meditate on God's word throughout the day. Really think about it and how it relates to you and how it may be applied to daily life. A value in this is keeping a special notebook or pad to record key verses or truths gained. Using a pen or pencil with your study also reinforces your retention of the truths. Also, don't hesitate to mark key verses right in your Bible. And I love that because it took me a while before I started putting notes and things in my Bible. And that's part of the reason that I hate to switch because I... all my notes and
he's got different verses with colored pencils and stuff, and
cool.
You can go right to the page and find the verse immediately.
But it's really neat, for as long as you have the Bible, as if you're taking notes and underlining, and you go back to that, some days you're just like, that was kind of a profound thought that I had that day. But it helps reapply it. Yeah, or somebody else.
Another one is along those same lines. I heard somebody talking about when somebody died, what a treasure for your kids. That's dad or that's mom's Bible. And wow, she was, you know, it's just, it was like one of those. It really gets you. I think I heard it at a funeral. And I think that at that one, the pastor said, you know, one thing that she told me before she died is she asked me to give you this. And it was just, and then I think that pastor was talking about his father was a pastor before him and saying, you know, this was something my dad gave to me. And I knew my dad, of course I knew him, but then, wow, some of these things, and it was powerful.
So, yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have my father's Bible.
Yeah.
I inherited after he died.
Did he write a lot in it?
Standard. Yeah. It had fairly new then, and friends had given it to him and wrote in the front, you know, some friends of his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a meaningful thing to have, family Bible, especially when you take notes in there. Number 6, in general, study the Bible by books. Work through a book and see the general outline, purpose, progression. Introductory data from Bible handbooks can be helpful. So other optional ideas there. Suggested starting points, Luke, Acts, so that kind of gives you Jesus' life, and then it's kind of a sequel, right? Part 1, part 2. Acts gives you what happens, and that's the Holy Spirit's basically the main character of Acts. Romans, beautiful presentation of a gospel. Genesis, you get to understand how it all started and why. Philippians, Psalms, Proverbs, 1 Peter, John, good recommendations. I remember when I was... I still do this, but when I was in China, you know, Mark is kind of like a shorter gospel, and it's more to the point, and everything's immediately this happened, immediately that happened. It's kind of like keeps the story going, and Jesus is this powerful Savior. He's the Son of God, you know, so much. And Mark to me, I feel like that appeals more to guys, you know, and the superhero part of things. And that's kind of what happened, you know, back in the day. Mark was a disciple of Peter, of Peter, and that's kind of like Peter. And they were working in Rome, and they had these Romans, you know, who had this love of these Greek gods and their sons and all this stuff. So, oh, here's this one that's really powerful. So usually I suggest that one for guys, starting Mark. For women, I usually suggest Luke, because it's more compassionate, focused. It really really focuses. Luke does a good job bringing out Jesus' love of women and even just those who are looked down upon in society. And then obviously there's a lot of teachings as well in Luke. So that's usually where I suggest people start. I had a guy in China one time. He says, yeah, I decided I was going to come to this study. I got invited, so I bought a Bible and I picked one up. And this week I read the first 50 chapters of Genesis, and I'm just like, whoa.
Motivated.
You probably had no idea what you were reading if you're reading it that fast and you want to understand. But, you know, normally what you do is, I'm going to buy a book. Where do I start?
Beginning.
I'm not going to start in the middle. How ridiculous is that? No, I'm going to start in the beginning. But if somebody doesn't understand, that's where you and I can come in with our Bible study. We're able to help explain what it all means. Genesis, yeah, you see how perfect it was, and it wasn't. And then Genesis 3:15 and so on. Think of the Ethiopian when Philip was there. He's just like, this passage, I don't understand it. Well, Philip's like, well, perfect. Let me tell you about it. I knew that guy. You know, so he tells him about it. So you and I can be that person too. But starting in certain places and studying the Bible by books is definitely important.
Mike. I had a question, and it's always something like, as we organize our Bible studies around here, there's kind of these two approaches that I've always seen, not just here, but, you know, do I study the Bible and then apply it outward? Yes. Or do I take some issue and bring it, what does the Bible say about this? I mean, that second one is so much more tricky. Like, I want to know about angels, or I really feel like I need to get more patience. And how do I take these issues, or parenting, or, you know, whatever, right? There are a million things. How do you issue in or Bible out? Do you guys get a recommendation as you're setting up your Bible study calendars for a congregation? Oh, it should be kind of 2-to-1, or yeah, sure, have a parenting class where we're here to learn about parenting. We're going to dive into all over this book. What do you think about those things?
I would say that my encouragement is always to mix it up.
Of course, yeah.
If we just start reading books of the Bible, it can kind of get a little bit cumbersome eventually, and that's just our sinful nature. And so kind of mixing it up a little bit, you know, throwing in a book, you know, that really reflects on Scripture, but it talks about a topic, you know, maybe angels. And we have a lot of those in the library too, right? Like, so angels, we're going to look. Heather and I, when we started dating, we wanted to do devotions. We just read via Skype the Holy Spirit one together, just because we just kind of did that. So, you know, I want to learn more about this. And then next time, let's read this book of the Bible together. And we eventually had to stop because she got sick of me playing pastor. Just like, just read it with me. You don't have to tell me all these insights. So, mix it up. Do what you got to do. With myself, I feel like sometimes I have to go by book, and I love it. I love reading chapter by chapter, but then I start to fade away with it. So, all right, I'm going to read this in Greek then. You know, I've got a Reader's Greek one. I'll do that. Oh, that was really good. Now I'm starting to trail out. All right, let me try something else. Read this book that, you know, I don't know, helps me apply being a pastor. You know, just kind of mixing it up is what I would say. But always going back to Scripture, making sure that we're doing that. Does that help at all?
Yeah, well, that's because
you have your own preference, too.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, sometimes you'll have somebody you're just, I don't know, a parent at a soccer game that's asking you some questions or whatever, and you have this issue or this topic, so those topic into the Bible are, I struggle with those sometimes. And, yeah, there's a ton of resources, and you go to NPH or you go to Google and like thousands of them.
Careful with that one, yeah.
And I guess that's where, and then you can maybe sort through them and get some more credible people. I suppose I could pick up the phone. That's what you guys partly are here for, right?
Yep. Is
to say, but so yeah, that's
there's one. Also, in some Bibles in the back.
Yeah.
You can have like topical references.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a trustworthy Bible that lists them well, you can do that.
Yeah, that's what like what Anne's got, which all these angles.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was lived in Southern California, did sales as in obviously in the car lot. But one guy who always enjoyed listening to every morning was Chuck Swindell. Mm-hmm. Listen to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Really, not always, but very, very good at explaining scripture and applying scripture and things like that. He had a half-hour program in the morning.
Yeah, so the radio, TV can provide some good things, podcasts. Wells has one of those. You can do some online studies there with Wells, too. So lots of ways to kind of mix it up and just get involved. But like I said, because of our sinful natures, it's important. Just try to keep it fresh, you know, whatever you got to do. But finding a consistent time is important, but doesn't mean you have to do the exact same type of reading that time. So, principles of biblical interpretation. This is important, too. Big one, number one, context, context, context. Consider the context as you're going through it, and that doesn't mean just within that paragraph, within that chapter, within that book, but even within all of Scripture. And that goes with one that we'll see in a second, too. Number two, take the Bible literally, unless the Bible itself says otherwise. Says equals means. Okay, if I'd be a crazy person if I expected you to interpret everything I said in a different way than I said it. Right? This is what I am saying this to you. This is how I want you to interpret my words as I speak this language. I'm not trying to trick you in any way or have you find some hidden meaning. I'm not doing that. The Bible, same thing. Says equals means. Or if it's a picture language, that's obvious picture language, then it's a picture, right? Is there an actual dragon that tried to swallow a baby that came from a woman? No, that's picture language in Revelation. If you go to Ezekiel, Daniel, lots of picture language in prophecies, apocalyptic literature. But when Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," sure, there's a picture involved there, but it's also says equals means. This is, right? And that's evident with other passages in Scripture, too. So, take the Bible literally. And I think that's where we have an issue, is sometimes we try to use our human reason over and above with the plain words of Scripture. I was just saying that to the Bible information class last week, saying, you know, I know with other denominations there are, you know, people that say, well, this is how I interpret it, and you have a different interpretation, so who's right? You know, we struggle with that. I say, usually people use that as a fallback when they don't want to have a discussion about it, because they don't want to have an argument. But really, 99% of Scripture is so very clear, and some of these false teachings are so very wrong, and very clearly so, that you can be confident that this Scripture says this, though, and it's not a matter of interpretation. Sometimes it's a matter of human reason. For example, Lord's Supper again. How could this really be his body and blood? That makes no sense. Now we're taking our human reason over above the plain words. God created the world in 6 days. Yeah, but, no? It says 6 days. So, take the Bible literally. Turn the page. Sorry, we have to go through this semi-fast. Number three, consider parallel passages or cross-references. So this is where I was saying, not just context of that chapter or that paragraph or that book, but all of Scripture. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. You hear James say, you heard people say you're justified by faith alone. I say, no, you're justified by faith and deeds. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, I guess I'm justified by the good works I do. No. Don't forget what Paul says in Romans 3. Right? So in the whole view of Scripture, you can see, oh, James is preaching law to people that didn't want to do good works.
Paul is speaking gospel.
Yeah. He's explaining gospel and conversion. It's different. James is speaking to Christians. So seeing the context of everything is important.
Yeah.
Number four, consider all interpretations in the light of clear chief truths as well. Let's read this one. I like this. No correct interpretation will contradict the often stated and clear doctrines of the Bible, like man's sinfulness, salvation by grace through faith, the deity of Jesus Christ, etc. Those are teachings that are very clear in so many other passages. So if you see one that's like, wait a second, remember in context, that'll help you interpret that passage. All the other chief truths. Maybe can somebody explain this next one to me. The red line of the Savior promise. Can somebody explain the red line to me? I tried to Google that. And I'm like, what do they mean, red line? I think what they mean is like the thread, the common thread.
It's not bloodline. It's like blood red.
Maybe blood red.
I don't know.
But you know how they say that Christ is the common thread of Scripture, right? Everything's there for Christ and points to Christ. And I think that's what they're getting at. Thank you that I'm not alone. I'm not knowing why red line is there.
Well, it's a straight line also.
Straight line, the red line?
Yeah. Okay.
Aren't there...
When there's a line, it's straight. So it's
pew.
Yeah.
Right.
Why is there
no deviation? Huh?
Why red?
I'm trying to remember, because Pastor Lusky was my... I was trying to think whether in some... I'm not even sure I want to say this, but when you have huge bolts of cloth or big sheets of material or like... OSB, now I'm getting off the track, but sometimes when you have a big sheet of material, there'll be reference lines on it so you can cut it.
Yeah.
Like say you had a 100-foot roll of white cloth, every 5 feet they might put a red line in it.
Okay.
I wonder if it's something like
something
that.
Something like that? Okay.
Or like say building materials when they're doing a roof, some of it you'll go by it, like why is this massive grid on this side?
Okay.
Well, it's so that you can...
All right, so then the idea is, remember, Scripture is always a guide.
Reference.
A guide to Christ, right? It's all about guiding us to Christ. It doesn't give us all the answers. It's meant to show us, like he says here, salvation history.
Yeah, but don't quote me on that, but I seem to recall
something. Oh, it all fits. It all makes sense. So then you can kind of see the common outline there on your own. You can take a look at that overview of Bible history. You can also go to the website I help run, Understand Christianity. There's a bunch of timelines on there. There's one of the timeline of salvation history that gives you the overarching thing. A lot of similar things is there. It's history. The Bible is a history book. And it's the history of how we were saved. So God be praised that we get to study that history.
I've heard it's his story.
His story, yep. Yeah. You can see next week, last week. Yeah, but we'll dive into the Christian and God's will. There's three separate lessons of that, but we'll start it off with lesson one next time. Let's say a prayer. Good music in the background. Father in heaven, you are all powerful. You are all knowing. Your word created the world. Your word created faith in our hearts, and your word is what we get to study. Lord, guide us in appreciation of that word. Guide us in recognizing our need for that word every single day. Guide us in our study of your word. Lord, also give us the words and guide us as we use that knowledge with others so that we can be prepared to give an answer. We ask all of this in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.